Radio Krishna presents Stories from the Mahabharata, or the History of Greater India.
Today's show is entitled, The Pandava's Disguise Unveiled. After undergoing 12 years of exile in the forest, the Pandava heroes have successfully completed a 13th year in disguise. In today's program, after successfully completing their last act incognito, they unveil the disguise and reveal their true, magnificent identity. King Virata entered the city in triumph after the Tregartas had been defeated. He had rescued the cows. He was received by the citizens with great pomp and splendor. He entered the city surrounded by the Pandavas. At the palace, he was received by the queen and his daughter. The princess Uttara told him about the invasion of the Kaurava army and about the young prince Uttarakumar going to fight with them single-handedly. The king was unhappy at this calamity which had befallen him. He was told that Brihanala was the charioteer of the prince, and when the king heard this, he was sunk in the depths of despair. The king said,
"Oh God, what can my child do? The great Kaurava heroes are there on the battlefield. Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, and the invincible Radeya have all come to attack us. What can my puny son do? Let me collect my army immediately and go to help my son. I thought that all danger had been averted when Susarma had been defeated. I did not bargain for this new danger. I must collect my army at a moment's notice."
He was giving instructions to his ministers and his brothers to make arrangements for a second campaign. Then Yudhisthira spoke.
"Don't give way to despair, Virat. I've heard that Brihanala is the charioteer to your son, so there's no cause for worry, none in the least. Your son would be able to vanquish even Indra, the king of heaven, or Yama, the lord of death, with Brihanala as his charioteer. I happen to know Brihanala and his greatness. Please compose yourself, my king. Please wait for news from the battlefront, and I assure you that you'll soon hear about the success of your son."
Hearing these words of Yudhisthira, for whom he had great respect, the king agreed to wait. He had to be patient, for his heart was heavy with grief, but he had agreed to wait for news from the young prince. A few hours of agony passed, and then came some cowherds to the presence of the king. They told him,
"My lord, we have come just now from the neighborhood of the battlefield. We saw the prince's chariot being driven by Brihanala. Seeing us, the chariot stopped. Brihanala said, 'Go at once to the city and announce that the prince has routed the enemies, that he has rescued the cows, that the city should prepare itself to receive him with honor. The prince is coming to the city after having rescued the cattle from the Kauravas. He has defeated them all in single combat.'"
And the cowards were so excited that they repeated themselves again and again. And Yudhisthira smiled at this message and said,
"It's fortunate that success has wooed the king and his son, but it doesn't surprise me. I knew that the prince was sure to win, since Brihanala is his charioteer. The charioteer of Indra, Malati by name, and even Krishna, the greatest of all charioteers, will pale into insignificance in front of this Brihanala."
The king was delirious with joy. He gave orders for the city to be decorated. He wanted the city to welcome his son in a glorious manner. His orders were carried out to the letter. The king was very happy. The entire palace was a garden of happiness. King and Yudhisthira were sitting together, and the king's eyes fell on Shairandri, who was standing at a distance, attending to the decorations in the hall, and he called out to her.
Shairandri, go and bring the dice. I am so happy. I want to play now.
And Yudhisthira said,
If I may offer my advice, king, please do not play. Please do not let us play at this time. The wise forbid the game when the mind is in an agitated state.
The king said that this was quite absurd. They were not playing the game using any stakes, but were just trying to while away the time. There was no harm in the game if it were played now in this way. But Yudhisthira said,
No, my lord, I still advise against it. The game is a terrible thing. I know why Yudhisthira lost his kingdom and his brothers and his wife, too, as stakes in this very same game of dice. The game of dice robs a man of sane thinking. Why, if Yudhisthira had been in a normal frame of mind, he would never have been so foolish. That game goes to the head like wine or a fever. It makes a man do the worst things imaginable. Now you're excited and I have some fear for your behalf. Please, don't let us play now.
But the king was very keen on playing, so Yudhisthira finally agreed. The game began. Virata's mind was full of the victory of his son, and Yudhisthira, too, was just as excited as the king. The success of Arjun thrilled him, and the king said,
I'm proud of my son's achievement. Just to think that he has fought with all the heroes on the side of the Kauravas makes me so happy and excited. I am indeed proud of my son. He has done a great deed. He has achieved the impossible.
Yes, it is your good fortune that Brihanala was there to hold the reins of your son's horses. That was why the prince was able to win.
He did not like the words of Yudhisthira, but he became very angry and said,
You say that you are not surprised? Is it then such an easy thing to defeat the heroes in the Kaurava army? It is a great achievement. You keep on talking about that eunuch as though he is someone great. I tell you, my son is a great hero. You are insulting him and me by taking less of him and more than this dancer. I will excuse you this once, but please take care not to displease me again.
Yudhisthira smiled gently and said,
Truth, my lord, may sometimes be unpleasant to hear, but I will tell you what must have happened. Please announce to the citizens about the victory of Brihanala. It is just as I say it is. When I say a thing, it will always be true. I know that your son must have been the charioteer to Brihanala. He must have been the one to defeat the Kaurava army. Think of that army. It cannot even be faced by the demigods. So how much less could a child like your son be able to defeat them? Only one person, Brihanala, would have been able to achieve this victory.
Hearing this, the king was beside himself with anger. He took the dice in his hand and threw them forcibly at the head of Yudhisthira. Yudhisthira tried to prevent the dice from hurting him, but he was hit. He was hit hardly on the forehead. Blood began to flow from the wound there, but he would not let the blood fall to the ground. Yudhisthira cupped his hands and received the blood there, without letting a single drop fall on the floor. He cast a look of pain at Draupadi, and she rushed to him with a bowl of gold filled with water. Yudhisthira washed his hands in it, and Draupadi wiped the brow of Yudhisthira with her garment and tried to stop the bleeding. It was only then that Virata saw what was being done, and he asked Draupadi,
Shairandri, what are you doing? Why are you wiping the blood from the wound of this foolish Brahmin with your silken garment?
If a drop of blood from the body of this good man touches the ground, your kingdom will not have rain for 1 year. Every drop means 1 year of famine. If this blood falls on the ground, you will be killed by one who has sworn to do it. to save you and your king. I am preventing this precious blood from flowing.
Virat did not attach any importance to the words of Draupadi. He was still angry for Yudhisthira for his words. And a messenger entered the hall, proclaiming that the prince was now in the city. He had reached the gates of the palace, and was even now entering the apartments of the king with his companion Brihanala. Yudhisthira spoke to the messenger in secret, and he said,
"Please see to it that they do not enter the hall together. Allow the prince to come now, and keep Brihanala back. Let him enter after a little while. I am saying this for the good of your king. His very life depends on your doing what I ask you to do. Just please see that Brihanala does not enter along with the prince."
The prince Uttarakumar entered the hall, and he was embraced warmly by his father. Uttarakumar looked beyond him and saw the face of Yudhisthira covered with blood. His heart stopped beating, and he was horrified at the sight, and he said,
"Who has done this cowardly act towards the noblest of men? Who has been indiscreet enough to tread on the tail of a cobra? Who has committed this dastardly crime?"
The king smiled and said that he had hit Yudhisthira with a dice because he had annoyed him by praising the charioteer and belittling the prince's prowess. And the prince said,
"Oh, father, you do not know what you have done. Please, you must ask pardon, nay, his forgiveness immediately. Please do not invite the curse of God upon yourself."
The king was puzzled by the words of his son. His anger against Yudhisthira, however, had vanished as soon as he saw his son. He went to Yudhisthira and asked him to pardon him. The blood had now stopped flowing thanks to the efforts of Draupadi, and Yudhisthira said,
"I was not angry with you at all. I was worried about your welfare, in fact. I didn't want this blood of mine to fall to the ground. If it had, you would have been killed at once, but I have averted the calamity. Nothing can happen now."
The king could not make out anything of the words of all of them, and then Brihanala entered the hall. The king was praising the prowess of his son. The poor prince did not dare to look up and meet the eyes of Arjun. He said,
"Father, I was aided by a divine person. I could not have won but for his help. He defeated them all single-handed."
Uttarakumar related to him all that had happened on the battlefield, but without mentioning the name of Arjun, he spoke about his valor. The king was amazed to hear about this divine being, and he said,
"I want to meet this divine person. I must thank him. I will give him all that I have. I will even give my daughter to him. Please bring him to me."
But young prince said,
"He vanished from my sight. Well, he may appear tomorrow or the day after, I don't know."
The king thanked Brihanala formally for having driven the chariot for his son. Arjun then left his presence and went to the apartments of the princess. He gave her the silks and jewels which he had brought back for her. All the while, Arjun was intrigued by the behavior of Yudhisthira. When the young prince was relating the events to the king that took place on the battlefield, Arjun had tried to see how Yudhisthira would take it. He tried to catch his eye, but the eldest Pandava had kept his face averted. He would not turn his face in the direction of Arjun. This was causing Arjun a lot of unhappiness. He had thought of winning a smile of sly mischief from his brother. He could not rest until he knew the real reason for his behavior. Then Arjun went to Bhima and asked him,
"Why is Yudhisthira different? He does not look at me with affection as he used to. Is he angry with me because I fought with the Kauravas? Well, I had to."
Bhima said, "I cannot explain it. Come, we will go to our brother and ask him." And together they went to Yudhisthira. He saw them and embraced Arjun warmly. They looked at the wound on his forehead and looked at him questioningly. And Yudhisthira said,
Don't worry about it now. Don't even think about it. The king just hit me with some dice. I wasn't hurt that badly. Arjuna, I didn't want you to see it when you entered the hall, and that was why I kept my face averted.
But Bhima was very angry, and he said,
If only you had shown your anger against this Virat, he would have been dead long ago. Without knowing who you are, he has insulted you. I cannot bear this anymore. We must punish him.
Arjun said that Yudhisthira's patience had been his undoing all these years. Arjun would kill this man and all his relations, and would then kill all the Kauravas. He was not pleased with Yudhisthira's patience. Arjun vowed to kill Virat. Bhima said,
Arjun is right. We will destroy the Matsyas with their relations and their friends. It is because of the spineless behavior of Virat that Draupadi was harassed by Kechaka. Let us become lords of Matya first. We can then become lords of the world.
Yudhisthira said,
Compose yourselves, brothers. There's no need to kill him. He insulted me because he didn't know who I was. But we'll give him a chance. We'll show him who we are tomorrow morning. We'll wake up in the morning and we'll go and we'll sit on his throne. If he dares to defy us then we will kill him. But not until then. Give him another chance. Let him realize what he's done. If he's impertinent, even after having realized it, then we'll kill him and all of his people after that. But not now. We owe him at least one more chance.
It was a beautiful morning. The five brothers got up early. They bathed themselves in perfumed water. They dressed themselves in costly robes made of soft silk. They put on gleaming jewels and they started for the court of Virat. Yudhisthira walked up to the throne. Draupadi sat by his side. The four brothers sat all around him and they waited for the king to come. After a while, the king entered the hall with all his attendants. He was followed by his ministers and his many courtiers. He looked at the Pandavas glowing like fire and was amazed at the sight. He looked at Yudhisthira and said,
Kanka, you are the dice player in my court. I had granted you several privileges because I thought that you were an honorable man. It does not mean that you should dress yourself in my silks and sit on my throne. I do not like your behavior. Explain yourself if you value your life.
Yudhisthira smiled at the angry king, but he said nothing. Then Arjun replied,
Virat, please be careful. You do not know what you're saying. This man here is fit to sit with Indra, the king of heaven, on the same throne. He is the greatest soul that has been born on this earth, a lion among kings. His name is Yudhisthira, the eldest Pandava. It is said that his fame will live in this world as long as the sun rises and sets. This is the king who was surrounded by thousands of kings. The monarchs of the world were waiting on him as servants. He was the lord of Indraprastha. He was the sole monarch of the world. He is the home of truth and righteousness. The great Yudhisthira, the lord of the world, is now honoring your throne by sitting on it. Do you object? You thought that he had no right to sit on your throne? Do you still think so? Please answer.
Virata was speechless with amazement. He stood silent for a few moments and then said,
If this is Yudhisthira, where are his brothers? Or rather, who are his brothers? Who is Arjuna? Who is Bhima? Who is Nakula? And who is Sahadeva? Is this the fire-born Draupadi? Please tell me and satisfy my curiosity.
Arjun told him who he was. He introduced them all to him. He sang the praises of the twins and that of Bhima. He showed Draupadi to him. Bhima introduced Arjun to the king. The young prince, Uttarakumar, came in just then and said,
"Thank God I am free to talk now. I can tell the whole world what happened on the battlefield. It was Arjuna who fought the battle for us, Father. I was the charioteer to the great Arjuna."
And then he fell at the pond of his feet and wept tears of joy. The king embraced Arjuna and said,
"Oh, God has been good to me. He made you save the life of my child."
And then King Virat fell at the feet of Yudhisthira. His form was drenched with tears, and he took a chamara fan from one of the attendants and began to fan Yudhisthira. He washed the feet of Yudhisthira and said,
"I am the most fortunate man on this very earth. Your presence has graced our city all these months. My court took on a new splendor because of your gracious presence. Please be good enough to accept my kingdom. I am your servant. I am your slave. In your infinite kindness and nobleness, you must forgive me for all the many offenses you had to suffer in my house. You are well known for your forgiving nature. You must have mercy on me and forgive me."
Yudhisthira took Virata's right hand in his and said,
"I'm not angry with you. On the other hand, I'm very pleased with you. We've been able to spend the most difficult year of our exile happily in your city. I've never enjoyed myself as I did all these months. I have enjoyed this year as I never thought I would. We have all been treated with great affection by you. We came to you originally as strangers, and your gentleness and your noble qualities have won all of our hearts. I am very happy to have you as my dear friend."
Virata was grateful to Yudhisthira for those kind words. Then the young prince came up to the throne, and he said to his father,
"We have been very fortunate in having the sons of Kunti in our midst all these months. They have been honored by you now, Father. But I have a suggestion. You remember you said that you would please the person who helped me during the fight with the Kauravas? You said that you wanted to give your daughter to him. It is time for you to fulfill your promise, Father. I will fetch my sister. Please give her to Arjuna, the greatest of all the heroes of the world."
The young prince went out and came back with his sister, the princess Uttara. Virata smiled at Arjuna and said that his daughter had been Arjuna's dear pupil for the last so many months, and that he would be greatly honored if Arjuna would accept her for his wife. He fell at the feet of Yudhisthira and asked him to forgive his faults and show him that they were forgiven by accepting his daughter as the bride of Arjuna. Yudhisthira looked at Arjuna as if to ask him what he should say in reply to the words of Virat. Arjuna got up from his seat and said,
"My lord, we do not want the kingdom of the Matsyas. We only want your assurance that you will give us your support when the war begins with Duryodhan. This child, this Uttara, has been offered to me by you, and I thank you for your loving thoughts which prompted you to do it. I deeply appreciate it, but I cannot accept her as my bride. This child has been my student for a year, and during that time she's been like a daughter to me. I couldn't take her for a wife. It wouldn't be right."
He saw disappointment written on the faces of Virat and Uttarakumar, the young prince. He smiled at them and said,
"But don't let this disappoint you. I will still accept her. After all, she's been my daughter all these days, and she will still be my daughter, and I will be her father. She will become my daughter-in-law. I will accept her as the bride of my child, Abhimanyu. He is the son of my wife, Subhadra. He is the nephew of Krishna. He will be a fit husband for my favorite student."
Arjun smiled at Uttara and said,
"My child, Uttara, from today you are my daughter."
Yudhisthira was pleased with the words of Arjun. There arrived in the court of Virat a messenger from Hastinapur. He came to the court of the king when Yudhisthira was there with his brothers, and he said,
"These are the words of my king Duryodhana. You must prepare yourselves to go to the forest for another 12 years. Arjuna, one of the Pandavas, was seen by us before the expiry of the 13th year. This is the message that has been sent to you all."
Yudhisthira laughed loud and long, and he said,
"Ha! Go back quickly to your lord, master, and king, and give him my message in return. Let our revered grandfather Bhisma say whether the 13th year has been completed or not. In a few days, he will get a message from me. Ask him to be ready to answer that question of mine. Till then, ask him not to bother us anymore."
News flew from one end of the world to the other that the Pandavas were no longer in disguise, that their term of exile was over. There was no other topic of conversation. People were everywhere discussing what the behavior of Duryodhana would be. The Pandavas took for themselves the city called Upaplavya. Yudhisthira sent messengers to all his friends and well-wishers, the first of these being, of course, Lord Sri Krishna and Draupad, the father of Draupadi. They hurried to Upaplavya. Balaram was the first to arrive. He was followed by Lord Krishna, who was accompanied by Subhadra and her son Abhimanyu. The meeting between the Pandavas and Lord Krishna was very tender. The host of the Vrishnis had arrived. The Pandavas with Virat went to the outskirts of the city to receive Lord Krishna and his brother Balaram. They fell at their feet. Their eyes filled with tears as they said,
"By your grace, Lord Krishna, we have finished the 13 years. You are our Lord and friend. We are in your hands. You are our refuge. We will do what you want us to do. We have no mind of our own. We are yours, and you are ours. You mean everything to us."
And with this, a great celebration took place. The marriage of Abhimanyu, the son of Arjun, and Uttara, the daughter of King Virat, was performed, and plans for the future of Greater India took place.